Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. We were not many this morning, but we knew what we were about when we gathered to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. As he appointed us, remember him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. You know, when God gave Moses instructions to build the tabernacle, he gave him all the dimensions, all the materials, all the colors. And before he got started, he says, "See that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. Don't change anything." And when we gather to remember the Lord, we take the emblems. We don't want to add anything to it. We can't improve on it. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to read this morning from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. We're going to stress this morning to believe. We're going to read just the first 7 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders receive witness. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In verse 6, it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What these persons we have been reading about here in chapter 11 and there are others, what they have in common is that they believe God. They took God at his word. We didn't take the time to read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but it is said of Abraham that he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Faith, believing God and taking him at his word, and all that come to God must believe that he is. Now I know that we all talk faith. We hear a lot of talking about faith. But when it really comes down to it, do we take him at his word? Do we really believe? And we're going to see in God's word those who really took God at his word, who believed, who had a strong faith and a testimony. One of the things we're going to look at this morning for us to believe, because you and I, we all go through trials, we face obstacles in our lives, we face difficulties on a daily basis, we face sickness and disease of one kind or another, and we have setbacks, we meet bumps in the road. What do? Do we complain? Do we lose our way? Do we lose our faith? That is our trust. Do we stop trusting in God? Are we looking at our circumstances rather than looking to the one who is able to help us? So we're going to begin this morning by looking at God is able. God is able. There is no problem that you and I can encounter that God is not able to solve. One hymn writer put it this way, that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And we are tested. Maybe we are in difficult situations away from home. Maybe the enemy look at our weaknesses and say, I can get him on this front. But God is able. And the first one we're going to look at is in the book of Daniel. These men were under tremendous pressure to become idolaters. They were God-fearing men. Their background was that they feared God. They came from a land that knew God. They were of the people of God. They were of God's earthly people. But because of rebellion against God, they were taken captive. Not that these particular men were disobedient, but the nation was disobedient and was taken into captivity. And these men were sorely tested there in Babylon. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were under tremendous pressure to become idolaters, to worship idols rather than worshiping the living God whom they had known back in their land. The most powerful man on earth at that time threatened them with death. A death that was so gruesome, he threatened that he would throw them into a burning, fiery furnace. But they believed. What did they believe? They believed that God, their God, was able. And so we pick up the reading in Daniel chapter 3.
Our God is able. That's what they said after he threatened them. Verse 15 says of Daniel chapter 3, "Now if you be ready, that at that time that you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, and lyre, and sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a fiery furnace." And who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now that's boasting. Here is their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now that's standing up for what you believe. Now that's standing against the powers of the earth, the evil that the enemy has set up, because these men, they didn't have a political party behind them. They didn't have financial resources to back them up. They were the children of the Most High God. They believed in their God, and they said to the king, without any fear of contradiction, they said to him, "Our God is able to deliver us." And for you and for me, beloved, if we come to God, we must believe that he is. Our God is able. Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson. He followed through because these men did not bow, as the song says. They didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. That's what the song says. They were steadfast in their faith. They believed that their God was able, and if even God did not deliver them, they knew he was able, but if it pleased him that they should burn. One thing is sure, we will not bow down to your image. Do you fold under pressure? Do you give in because the odds are against you, as they say? Do you give in because the person who is threatening you is the most powerful person around? Or do you stand steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And God did deliver them. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? I'm going to cast you into the burning fiery furnace. And who, listen to him, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He found out. Oh, beloved, God is always there. He is faithful. He says, them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Nebuchadnezzar did what he did. He did what he promised he would do. But the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was steadfast. They did not give in to the king, and God honored them. And here is the proud king. At the end of chapter 4 of Daniel, it makes good reading. The whole chapter makes great reading, but for the sake of time, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, the last verse, chapter 4, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride, that's me, meaning him, all those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God was able to deliver them. Nebuchadnezzar found out that God is able to abase, to bring down those who walk in pride. Our God is able. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know what problems you are facing, what difficulties you're having in life, whatever it is, God is able. Don't take it out of his hands. You know, the hymn writer had this in mind when he said, when he wrote, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything. Not the big things. Not the things you say, well, I can't solve this one, I give this one to God. Everything to God in prayer. You don't have to argue. The young men said, we won't argue with you, O king. We're not going to argue with you. One thing we know, that our God is able to deliver us. They had a companion, these three men. I call him the senior one of the group, Daniel by name. And he was also a godly man. You can't find anything in the book of Daniel, in the scriptures, that would condemn Daniel. He was a man of God, a man of tremendous high principle, man of God who had purpose in his heart. That's the man of God who purpose in his heart. He would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He had his principle. He operated from God's perspective. He did not want to participate in idolatry in any form, not even in the food. Daniel was gifted by God. God gave him tremendous wisdom and understanding. And he is the one who interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel was there, and he had promotions in the kingdom, not only under Nebuchadnezzar, but under Darius the Mede, as the kingdom was passed from Belshazzar, and the Medes and the Persians took over. He had he gained tremendous respect from those in Babylon. And the men who were with him, because he was chief of all the presidents, he was over all, and they were jealous of him, and they wanted to bring him down. And they said, the only way we can bring him down is concerning his God. We can't find anything wrong with him. What a testimony. When your enemy can say, well, I can't find anything wrong with him. I mean, I don't like him, but he's all right. You know, yeah, you can't find anything wrong with you. That was Daniel. They didn't like him, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they concocted a kind of a law that you can't ask a petition for anyone but the king. You're going to throw him in the dungeon, not any dungeon, in the den of lions, as a matter of fact. But I don't want to spend too much time on this, but Darius fell for it, and he didn't understand it. They were going to get to Daniel because they appealed to his ego. And he said, okay, you can't ask for anything but by me. You got to come through me, you know. Mankind has such tremendous ego that it's easy to fool them. Anyhow, he took the bait and they went and they complained about Daniel, because Daniel knew that the king had signed this law and the law could not be changed, could not be altered according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. It could not be altered, and they held the king to that. So when the king found out it was Daniel, he was sad, but he couldn't do a thing about it. And the sentence was to be cast into the den of lions. King had a sleepless night after they threw Daniel into the den of lions. But the king came very early in the morning, and he knew something. He understood that Daniel's God was able. The king understood that. And he wasn't sure what had happened to Daniel, but he came early in the morning and he called. He called Daniel. You know, when the enemy tried to get you to blaspheme your God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if this is the law. I believe this is our responsibility. If you will, I'm not asking anybody to break the law. But Peter said, we would rather obey God than man. And when man's law contradicts the law of God, we have to side with God every time. And Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and what he was doing was technically against the law. But God, you'd rather obey God than man. So he opened up his window and he prayed to God. Suppose there was to pass a law in your land today. Pass a law and says it is illegal to pray. It's illegal to call upon God. Were you going to stop praying? It's illegal to preach the gospel. When Jesus says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, who will you obey? If there was to pass a law like this, could you get arrested? Are you going to fold and give up? Darius came early. Chapter 6 of Daniel, verse 19. Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able? Is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Is thy God able? Yes, our God is able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out their God was able. Daniel said, yes, my God is able. My God came. He sent his angels, and he shut the lions' mouths. They didn't touch me. That's the God we have come to know and to serve. Why do we fold under pressure? Why do we give in? We need to look at these men. They were under tremendous pressure. The lions couldn't touch them. The fires couldn't burn them. Because their God, whom they serve, was able. I got news for you, beloved. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Daniel, is our God. I am the Lord, I change not. He was able then, and he is able now. God is able. God called on Abraham to deliver up his son Isaac because God had promised him that he's going to have a seed. And he said, go and take your son and offer him as a burnt offering. Isaac was not married. Isaac didn't have any seed. Isaac was a single man. How could you get seed from a dead man? Abraham obeyed and he went out. Leave the details with God. That's what faith is. Taking God at his word. It doesn't have to make sense to you. God said in Isaac, shall thy seed be called? Yet he said, go and offer him, kill him, put him on the altar. Where is the seed going to come from? Listen what it says. That's what taking God at his word means. This is what faith means. Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able. That's it. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. I'm not going to question God, he says. The details are with you, Lord. You know what you're doing. But I'm going to believe. And you said to offer him up, you're able to raise him from the dead. That's what faith is all about. Abraham took Isaac and he put him on the altar and he raised the knife and he was going to slay him. Only God kept him from bringing his hand down. He says, lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham looked. He looked over there and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and he offered up that ram instead of his son. That is the doctrine of substitution. The Lord Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's a picture of substitution. The Lord Jesus came, and our sins were laid on him, and he died in my place. He suffered for me. Substitution. I should have been crucified. I should have been hanging on the cross. I should have been there, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's able. He's able to deliver from the furnace. He's able to deliver from the lions. He is able to bring back my son from the dead. God is able. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he did many miracles. Many miracles of healing. But I want to refer you to one in particular. In Matthew chapter 9, many miracles of healing, but here's one in chapter 9, caught my attention. Verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? You want healing? Do you believe I can do this? You believe I am able? I have the resources. I have the power. I have the strength. Do you really believe that? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Their eyes were open, and Jesus strictly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Do you believe that I am able? Abraham believed. Not only he believed that God was able to bring back his son from the dead, but he even believed, even before that, at 100 years old, he believed he can have a son. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He believed that God was able. That what he was, according to Romans chapter 4, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What he had promised, he promised that his wife of 90 years old was going to have a son. And he believed that. He staggered not at the promise of God because of unbelief. Read the interpretation in Romans chapter 4. For he believed what he had promised. He was able to perform. That's our God. Don't limit him. You know when Sarah laughed in her heart? She later denied it, but she laughed in her heart. Me at this age? She laughed in her heart. You know, the question came, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? You ask yourself that question. When you're looking at problems that you feel is insurmountable. Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do? There's no need for an answer. That's rhetorical. But if you want an answer, absolutely not. There's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to earth and who put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. He is our great high priest right now. And it says in verse 24 of Hebrews 7, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save to the uttermost. I heard a preacher said, not only to the uttermost, but to the guttermost. He's able to save. Preacher once said he preached up north a lot, and now he came down south and preaching down south, and he's been frustrated up north, and he is just as frustrated down south, because up north he preached and no one thinks they can be saved, he said. And now he come down south preaching and everyone thinks they are. Let that sink into your head a little bit. I don't think you really got it. It's tough up north. No one thinks you can be saved. He preached and preached. I say, he's come down south and I preach. And everybody thinks they're saved. You know, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling you what he says. He is able to save to the uttermost all that cometh unto God by him. He is able to save. We used to sing in Sunday school, there's never a sinner so far from God but Jesus to bring him home. One of the great doxologies we have in the New Testament, I believe the greatest, it's in the book of Jude. What a closing statement in the book of Jude. You know what it says? I read it for you, Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What closing statement. What a doxology. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling. You know who that is? That's our blessed Redeemer. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. It says he gave his life for the church that he might cleanse it, that he might redeem it, that he might purify it unto himself. He's going to present it to himself, a church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's our Lord. We have a lot of wrinkle and spots right now, beloved, but when he comes, he's going to clean us up and make us fit. It says, present us faultless. Present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's how we close. You know, when we pray, I know we utter a lot of words, but do we really believe as we present our petitions to the Lord? Do we really believe it in prayer? Do we really believe that the Lord will answer us? That what we are praying is not really too much for him? Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 20. He says, "Now unto him who is able to answer us, no, to meet our needs, no, now unto us who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." When we bring our petitions to the Lord, not only is he able to meet our needs, but he's able to do more exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Our God is big, beloved. No kind of problems that he cannot solve. It's the same God who made the iron to swim and the dumb beast to talk and the sun to stand still. Same God. Able to do exceedingly. Not only exceedingly, but abundantly. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Is it any wonder then the apostle can write that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is able, among many other things. We're going to look at some more later, but he is able. So let's bring everything to him in prayer. No problem that he cannot solve. No mountain too high, no valley too deep. No situation too complicated for him. He is the all-wise, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God. And he is able. He is able. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art God, and besides thee there is none else. We thank thee that thou art great and greatly to be praised. We thank thee that the God of the ages, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is our God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our God. And our God is able. Give us grace then to trust thee. To trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge thee, and thou shalt direct our paths. Give us grace then to honor thee, not to fold under pressure from the world, but to be steadfast and unmovable,
always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We give thee thanks for thy precious word, for whatsoever written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Accept of our thanksgivings for this time spent together around thy word, and be with us and guide us. Glorify thyself in us and bring us again together to continue to study thy word. At the next session, we humbly pray. We ask it all in the precious name of our risen Lord and our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.